Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church on this rather muggy morning. I've got a few things to announce. Now, firstly, you will see that we've got a different setup for Cafe Church. We're trying to avoid moving the big tables. So it is just a trial, and if it doesn't work, we'll have to think again. But the advantage is for the stewards that we don't have the big tables are quite heavy, so we don't have to move them around. Also, there will be the big flasks at the back, so if you want a refill of coffee, it'll be coffee only, I'm afraid, then if you want to get up and have one of those, then they're available, or after the service as well. And please do, if you want, although the service is finished, if you want to stay and chat like you would do on a usual Sunday, then please do feel able to do that. I have to announce that it's Peggy Brough's funeral tomorrow at Macclesfield Crematorium at 10 a.m. So those of you who knew her might wish to attend. There's also a few announcements for things that are going to come in the near future. So next Saturday, there's a talk about scam awareness, which you'll have the flyer for. There's also a film, which is Chocolat, in the afternoon. Again, there's information about that. And just a preliminary announcement, there will be a sponsored walk for Christian Aid on Saturday, March the 16th, which will be around Titusworth Water. It's being arranged by Staffordshire Christian Aid Group, and I have details, and Fiona will have details, and we might be putting something in the notices in the near future. But if anybody's keen to do a walk around Titusworth Reservoir and get a bit of money for Christian Aid while doing it, I think that sounds really good. So thank you. I think Ros is about to take over now. Thank you very much.
Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning. It's good that we can be together, and it looks nice and relaxed from here around the smaller tables, actually, so I'm hoping that that's going to work well for us as we go forward. Well, we've had some very exciting Sundays and services recently, haven't we? We've had Advent. Seems a long time ago, but we've had Advent. We had then, of course, Christmas Eve services. We had Christmas Day, then we had a circuit service on New Year's Eve, then we had New Year's Day, and this morning we are celebrating District Communication Sunday. Yay. Okay, District Communication Sunday. Yay. There we go. So this is the first District Communication Sunday. And the district have given us all sorts of resources to use as we talk about how we communicate our faith and the activities that we have going on in our churches and in the community. So that's going to be the discussions we'll have this morning. There'll be various videos. There's going to be a short talk by Reverend Dr. Andrew Lunn, our district chair, on the screen as well. So there's all sorts of things going on to do with communications. There's also, you'll see some booklets. The district has produced these booklets of resources, so you can take these away with you. There's all sorts of information in there about things that are going on, how you can link into those or just find out about them. So please do take those away and have a look at those and see if there are things that sort of spark your interest in there. Okay, let's come before God in prayer. Loving God, we come to worship you this morning. We are grateful and for the privilege of coming here. We're grateful that you want us to stand before you in worship. We're grateful that you are here, that you meet with us here as we worship you. Pray, Lord, that you will lead our worship, our conversations, our singing, our praying, our thinking, our silences, that you will infuse all of those with your Holy Spirit, so that when we worship you, we worship in spirit and in truth. So we offer you this worship, Lord. Amen. And we sing our first song together this morning, Come On and Celebrate. So now we're going to hear a sort of introduction to District Communications Sunday from Tori Allen, who is the District Communications Officer.
Welcome to Communication Sunday. My name is Tori Allen and I'm the Manchester and Stockport District's Digital and Communications Officer. Communication is something that I'm extremely passionate about. Communication is a fundamental part of being human, and it's a fundamental part of being Christian. Think about it. We all communicate on a daily basis. How would we go about our lives without communication? We communicate to each other, in our workplaces, in our personal lives, in our volunteering. Our pets communicate to us. Don't know about you, but my cat makes it very, very obvious to me when she's wanting attention or feeding. We communicate to our friends. We share our stories, whether that's verbally, whether that's through writing, through art, or through music. And therefore, if we all communicate, we already all have the skills that it takes to communicate. It's not a case of whether we're born a communicator or not, we already all are. So the question that comes to my mind is, how can we develop those communication skills? If we already all have those skills, how can we take that one step further? I believe the journey of communication, it doesn't have a set end goal. I myself am still on a journey of communication. We're all already developing, we'll all continue to develop throughout our lives. So if we all already communicate in our day-to-day lives, what then about the church? What does that mean about the church? I'd like to give you two examples. The first, picture a church. Its doors are open, literally and metaphorically. It's got an online presence. It's got an up-to-date website. It posts on Facebook. It's part of community groups. People in the local community know that that church is there. They know what goes on there. Now think about a church that doesn't have a presence, online or otherwise. It doesn't have Facebook or Instagram, doesn't have any social media. It doesn't have a website. There's no posters around the church. Nobody in the community knows whether this is simply just a building or whether this is a place of community and belonging. If a church doesn't communicate, if a church doesn't tell people that it's open and that it's part of the community, the church isn't making a decision to not communicate. In fact, it's still communicating, just very, very negatively. It's communicating the message that this isn't a place that's open. Our doors are shut. You're not welcome here. Whereas in the first picture that I painted, that church comes across very welcoming and very much a part of the community. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer. Every church communicates in a different way. And that's because every church community is slightly different, so different things will work for different people. But I'd really like us to consider how we can take what we're doing one step further. How can we share the message of who we are and what we do to those around us? It may mean for you signing up to something like the district's weekly bulletin. I compile this weekly and put in lots of events and resources and ways that you can connect with others, get involved and access resources to help you in your individual ministries. It may be growing the confidence to tell those stories of amazing things that happen in your church, stories of events that have taken place or things that people might want to get involved with. We are living in a digital era, and like it or not, that's a fact, that's where we are. While the digital medium isn't the be-all and end-all, if we're not on there, we're certainly excluding a vast majority of people that may never know that the church existed without it. So my challenge to you is, what next? With those communication skills that you've already got, how are you going to develop that? How are you going to support the work and the life of the church and share your faith with your local community? Today on Communication Sunday, we've got a wide range of resources to help you think a bit more deeply about communication. We'll be hearing a sermon, and we've also got a variety of people from across the district talking about why communication is important and what's helped them in their local context. See, it's not just me that thinks communication is important. It goes much, much deeper than that. Communication is something that is tried and tested and has helped people in their local contexts. And I hope that by hearing from each of these people from across the district, you'll come away with some ideas of how this can help you in your local context. As always, if anybody has any questions, has any training needs, or would like to just have a conversation with me, you can get in touch with me at comms@mnsmethodists.org.uk.
Okay, so that's a taster of some of the things that we are going to talk about this morning. So let's pray together. Creator God, you brooded over the waters at creation, marking the beginning of time and space. Give us a sense of wonder as we embrace and engage with you on this Communication Sunday, as we tell the gospel story in word and image, in person and online, present and at any point in the future, with others and alone. Help us to meet with you and be open to the old and to the new as we worship together. Amen. And a prayer of confession and assurance. Loving God, your story is a wonderful story. It's a life-giving story. We praise you and thank you that we have heard your story through others and that now we live within that story. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't open our minds and open our hearts and open our lips to tell others of your wonderful story, to introduce others to you. Help us, Lord, when we are reticent or we dare not. Help us to look for opportunities to spread the good news to others. But we know, Lord, that when we fail, when we make mistakes, when we don't speak of you. We know, Lord, that when we come back to you and we ask for your help and your forgiveness, you are willing and able to forgive us, to strengthen us, to pick us up, and to send us out again. So we thank you and we claim that forgiveness now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And a blessing over the offering. Loving God, we know that all that we have, all that we are, comes from you. We thank you for this opportunity to give back to you tokens of our wealth brought today, sent via the internet. And with those, we offer you back the lives that you have given to us. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Take all these, we pray, to bring praise to your name and spread your story far and wide. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so just for a few minutes, probably about 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to ask you to just speak to the person next to you. I'm not going to ask for feedback. Just speak to one other person in your group and just tell them about an interesting conversation that you have had recently. You can tell them who it was with, if you like, and what it was about. It can be in any sphere of life. Any conversation that was being interesting recently. Off you go. Okay. That was interesting because there was like a stunned silence and look of horror when I first said about what we were going to do. And now you're all chatting, you're all communicating, you're all talking. Okay. So next we're going to hear, Paul is going to bring to us our readings from John this morning. And straight after that we'll hear Andrew Lund's talk on the readings. Thank you.
The reading is taken from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 26, then 39 to 41. Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah," called Christ, "is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Verses 39-41. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. Amen.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our liberator. Amen. Well, I hope you've just been talking about some conversations that you've had a sense of those ways in which you've engaged with other people and talked with them. I hope also you've heard the story of Jesus and the woman by the well, that conversation which took place between two very different people. We know of the woman by the well from that gospel story. In the tradition of the Orthodox Church, she's known as Fatina. So let's call her that, that conversation between Jesus and Fatina. And they were two very different people. A woman from Samaria who in her own community was maybe a bit on the edge. People weren't sure about her lifestyle. And on the other hand, a Jewish man, a rabbi, someone who was pushing the boundaries of people's spiritual and lived experience. And they sat, and it begins just with a simple request for water. And yet out of that comes a conversation which changes Fatina's life. It's a conversation which slowly moves deeper and deeper and reveals more and more of what might happen. For Fatina, it's a conversation which reveals to her something of herself. A conversation which also speaks to her about a deep resource that Jesus talks about, a living water, a spring of living water that will well up within her. The thing about this conversation which may be most remarkable is what happens afterwards. That Fatina is not just changed in herself by it, but that she wants to tell someone about it. She goes off immediately to have other conversations. She goes back into the town and says to people, come and meet this man who tells me everything I ever did. And so those townspeople then come to meet Jesus and to have their own conversations with him. And so there's a sort of a flow from the conversation of Jesus with Fatina out into the conversation she has with the townspeople. And in fact, if Orthodox tradition is to be believed, she went on to become herself a missionary, an apostle. She went with her sons to the city of Carthage, and there she helped to start a new Christian church. She could not keep the story to herself. She had to tell it. She had to go and have those conversations with other people. Of course, for us, we see that flow of conversation as stretching on to us as well. What began with the way in which Jesus talked to people around him became something that they then shared as they went out into the world. And finally, the story came to us. And just as for Fatina, the story which transformed her life has transformed ours as well. The story of the love of God shown through Jesus. The question for us now, of course, is how we are going to go on sharing the story. We want today on a Communication Sunday to be thinking about how we can best communicate the story that has changed our lives. There are lots of ways in which we might do that. But I was struck recently about the way in which some of the stories which can be told can be full of energy and colour. We had a training day for the superintendents of the district, and we were led by Michael Wakelin, who's a local preacher in Macclesfield Circuit and used to work for the BBC as their head of religion and ethics. He knows a lot about the world of communication, so he helped us by helping us to think about what you do to get ready for a radio interview or a television interview, being questioned by a journalist about something you were doing, and encouraged us to think about our stories. And those stories that the superintendents came up with were full of life. One told about a community garden. The church had started worshipping in their car park during the COVID pandemic and had so enjoyed being out of doors and had been aware of this patch of wasteland next to their church car park. And so they'd ended up turning it into a community garden, and now it was full of life, and they had beehives there and honey being produced, and people were coming from the community to come and use it. Another spoke about something they did at Halloween, a town centre where all the shops used to open and do a pumpkin trail. And the church joined in, and they had their own pumpkins which told the story of Jesus. Pumpkins with stars for eyes to tell the story of Christmas, a cross for the nose to tell the story of Easter, and a big smile to let out the love of God into people's lives and to talk to the children about that. Someone else told a story about a remarkable pastoral encounter with a woman who was rediscovering her grief over a stillbirth from many, many years before, and of how that encounter and how she dealt with that and eventually visited the place where she discovered her baby had been buried changed her perspective on life and allowed others as well to think about their own grief and loss and how they could be supported in that. So what about your own stories? Stories from your church about the things that you're doing together. How are you going to go and share those? As I said, it doesn't really matter how you do it. It may be through engaging in a community Facebook page and telling your stories there. It may be through a press release and trying to get the local media to take notice of something that you've done together. It might be through just a conversation over the garden fence with a neighbour. But in all sorts of ways, we want to place ourselves in that flow of conversation, taking the story of the good news of God's love out from one to another, and to become part of the way in which God transforms human lives, a spring of living water welling up within each person to eternal life. Amen.
And so we continue to communicate as we sing together, hear the call of the kingdom.
Hear the call of the kingdom, lift your eyes to the King. Let his song rise within you as a fragrant offering of how God, rich in mercy, came to Christ to redeem all who trust in his unfailing life. Hear the call of the kingdom to be children of light, with the mercy of heaven, the humility of Christ, walking justly before him, loving all that is right. Let the life of Christ may shine through us. King of heaven, call of the kingdom to reach out to the lost with a Father's compassion in the wonder of the cross, bringing peace and forgiveness and a hope yet to come. Let the nations put their trust in him. King of heaven,
as Tori mentioned, there are, the district asked various people from different churches to talk a little bit about communication. There's lots more on the website if you wanted to have a look. I've chosen two for us to look at this morning. One person, you may know both of these people, but one person is Bernie from Windlehurst, who some of you may know when we were in that circuit. And there's also somebody called Rachel, who's in the, I think it's the Urmston circuit. So we're going to hear their sort of reflections on communication, and then we'll get round to our discussions.
I'm Bernie Rowlands, and I'm a steward at Windlehurst Methodist Church in High Lane. And myself and my wife have been members here for many years. My background is in engineering, and I do believe that people in every walk of life should use their skills and their background, and it's a pleasure to be able to use them in the church and to play a part in the church and feel that we bring something to it, as everybody at the church does.
Could you tell me a bit about why you think communication is important for the church to embrace?
If you think of the church and you think of this is a big stone church, and think of the building blocks of stone. The stones are like our faith, they're the things we believe in, or the things that hold it together, the mortar. That's the communication. That's the part that holds the pieces, the important pieces together. It's all too easy to forget the importance of communication. We just think we're communicating without thinking why or what we're saying. Some examples that I can think of that have affected me over the past years. We had some new members not so long ago, and they really surprised me when they said, we've walked past this church so many times and we never knew what went on inside. And I was truly astounded that somebody could not know what went on inside a church. But when I thought about it, I thought, that's not their fault, that's our problem, that we've not communicated out to people what it is we believe in, what we do, and what we bring to the community as well. And it caused us to think about the use of social media, and also the fact that every one of us is an ambassador of the church. It's not the role of any one person, it's the role of everybody to communicate out about the church and what the church means to them. And if they can do that, we can take the message of the church and our beliefs out to other people as well.
Can I ask what sort of things you use to communicate here at Windlehurst and the difference that it's made so far?
We use Facebook, and we're all getting a bit older, so we have to embrace a digital medium, and which some of us are not familiar with. What we've found is that by using it, we can link into other people that maybe don't come to church but do use social media. So as a church, we link into the village Facebook site, which gives us access to nearly 5,000 people because it's a very busy site. And all of a sudden, we can talk to far more people than we could ever talk to in any other way. So it is a challenge. It's a challenge to older people to get their minds around how to do this. It's a different way of thinking. But if you can do it, the rewards from it are huge. An example, in the last few days, we've been collecting for a mission, for Wood Street Mission, which is a very worthwhile charity that operates in Salford and Manchester. And my wife put a message out on the village Facebook site, and so people that don't come to church saw that we were collecting. And there's just been a stream of people coming into church because they've seen that message. And it just cascades out from there, and it's been hugely successful from that point of view. We've got a lot more to do with it, and I don't think we'll ever become, we'll never finish the story, but it's worth such a lot for people to try to grapple with modern communications and digital media.
What about communication within the church?
Within the church, we have our meetings, we have notice boards, we have everything you'd expect. But you do notice that because people going to church are older, often older people, not exclusively, but often the case, they're not familiar with digital media. And even though we put a message out on emails, and we use emails a lot, and we have user groups for people at church, so we've got a membership user group so we can communicate with people. People that are not familiar with it don't use it. And we do get lots of questions about, well, what's the circuit doing about this, and what's the circuit doing about that? And it brought a real question up in my mind as to how organisations communicate. I was thinking back in my own past. I had quite a role in communicating within the business I worked in, and used to have to stand up a lot and talk to people. And so we had a minister here, it was actually our superintendent, And we actually prevailed on her after the service, which she'd run very successfully, over a coffee, not to move around amongst the tables, but to actually sit down and take questions from people. And this is all about her listening to people's views. Too often we can become organisations that pass messages down very efficiently. We don't always stop to listen to, well, what do those people think? What can they tell us? What about the upward communication? And we had a really successful half hour in which lots of questions were asked. The superintendent was able to answer those questions and enlarge on them in many cases, enlarge on people's knowledge. But she was also able to listen to what was it that concerned people? What was it they felt pleased about? What didn't they know about? And so you realise that communication is a two-way process, and you really have got to listen as well as tell people.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. Would you like to introduce yourself and your role?
My name is Rachel. I'm Faith and Community Development Manager in the Stretford and Ermston Circuit, which is near Manchester.
Why do you feel that communication is important for the church?
Hugely important. I think it's a way of making people feel included. So whether they're a regular attender every week to church, or they come to activities, or they could be at home, or they could be housebound. Just a way of including people, I think, nowadays. It's also trying to think beyond that to those people that we aren't communicating with yet. So I always think about, I remember putting a Facebook post on about one of our groups, and one of our congregation picked it up on her phone, and she was actually Stretford Public Hall chatting to someone who's not on Facebook. And she told him about what it was, and then he started coming to some of our activities. So you don't even have to be on Facebook or something in order to hear about it. So it's thinking beyond the normal realms of communication, I think, as well.
What sort of communication methods do you guys use regularly?
Obviously Facebook. And what I've noticed is something I think you taught me is on the training is, when you share things into other Facebook groups, share it from your circuit or church page. Don't advertise your church fair from yourself. You can do on your own page and things, but that way we've actually got more people following us because it's been shared from our circuit page. That's been really good. So aside from social media, we've also got weekly notice sheets, the usual things. We don't do a church magazine anymore, more for practical reasons, but we're looking at maybe doing a seasonal thing. So there's obviously sort of like the verbal notices at the front of church, which I think are sometimes more effective because not everyone reads bits of paper. Some do, some don't, but sometimes people take it in more if they hear it verbally. We've recently updated in one church some of our notice boards, so there's more information about who the leadership team is, who the stewards are, services, made it a bit more streamlined. I think some of it was a bit confusing. So we're still very much posters and paper, putting those posters in, whether it be libraries, local cafes. WhatsApp groups are brilliant. I'm now on a social prescribers WhatsApp group. So other people will share things that I can feed back into our community. But we can do it the other way too. And I think sometimes you have people, they aren't on the internet, they're not on your radar. They're important. How do you reach those people that you don't know about? People that are actively doing social prescribing often know about those people or can tap into things. And being in that sort of family group and a WhatsApp group is important too. So the scope, I mean, there's loads of different things. Having stalls at fairs, we did one of those this year at Trafford Town Hall.
What difference would you say that embracing all of that's made?
I'd say quite huge. If you talk about trying to measure it, I don't think that's easy. The church nowadays, it's not necessarily reaching people and then, oh yeah, they will turn up on a Sunday. It's trying to engage with people. We're two churches in a circuit, but trying to operate as one church. We now need to communicate better because you don't particularly want to do your Christmas fair on the same Saturday as each other. You want to do a bit of for planning.
Yes, we've got two churches. Yes, we're trying to operate as one church. Mm. Actually, good communication can help those two churches feel so much more connected as well.
Yeah, yeah. Just trying to, again, make people feel included in that sense of belonging.
I wonder if there's any other thoughts you had about the difference Facebook has made.
It's a way of people engaging with us, and they can do it almost anonymously, can't they? And it's in ways that you can't begin to imagine. So when we had that stand at Trafford Town Hall, but we had a dance teacher who apparently was at the same event, had picked up on us either there or social media, basically saw we were doing some summer activities, offered to do a free like community lesson.
You are.
She follows our Facebook page. We obviously shared about her. That scheme of working with community groups, but also trying to provide free or low cost activities for families on holiday, which is a massive thing. I never would have thought of, oh yeah, let's answer dance school to provide a free half hour session. It, I don't know, just wouldn't register. So you don't know what comes of it. I've now got into, see, it's the training that's been going on, I think, in the district has helped. So getting used to doing Facebook stories. And I think the good thing about those is it's not like one full-on permanent post that's in someone's face. It's dropping some things in, reminders for people. We use Canva a lot, and that's brilliant because you can pretty much create one post, one poster, and it can be sent by WhatsApp, it could be printed as a poster, turn it into a leaflet, put it on Facebook, Instagram, if you've got, or whatever, job done. You know, you could put it in your weekly notice sheet, you can put the poster up at church, it's very flexible. Yeah.
Okay, so I've forgotten exactly what I wrote on the piece of paper. So it's time for us to have our conversations now. But I think we do need to say a huge thank you to Jill, who is our Facebook person, who keeps things up. So I think we should need to show our appreciation to Jill for all she does on Facebook for us. And also Zoe, who's not here at the moment, but she does lots on the website, doesn't she? As well as, of course, Fiona in the office. So these are things that we are already doing, but there's more things that we can do and get involved in. So the questions for you to discuss around in your groups are, during the service so far, has anything surprised or interested, challenged or worried you about the things that we've heard? And then how do you communicate your faith to others? And then as a church, how do we communicate our faith and our activities to others? And are there other ways that we could do that? Okay, so if we do, let's say quarter of an hour, and then we'll have some feedback. Mandy's asking how many people are on Facebook as a matter of interest.
That was unaware completely until a few seconds ago. Without you mentioning Jill on Facebook.
So you didn't know we had a Facebook page?
No.
Oh.
I purely tend to use it just for families and friends that we've left scattered.
So,
all
yeah, so you're using a sort of discreet group? Yeah.
No, we have a church.
Oh, right. Right.
So that has surprised me.
Right, okay, so that surprised you. So maybe we need to just communicate that we have a Facebook page more.
I mean, I was interested when Hilary started Vox, the music thing, she has put that on Facebook, but for some reason that did come into my personal one, and that already has got a page.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, I'll leave you to chat and then we'll have some feedback.
Thank you. one. There should be some on each table. Not under that. Oh, okay. Maybe there's two on this one. Have you got two copies of the question? Oh, there we are. Thanks. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry, there should be one on each table. There we go.
Started yet? We've been talking about starting a new men's group.
Oh, okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
So we're about to start.
Sounds good. Go on then. Go on then.
Well, actually, I thought.
Squeeze in. Oh, they're linked together. Okay. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Okay, we'll have the end. There we are. Yeah, they're supposed to be. Well, they are supposed
well
to
done.
Be, I suppose. Thank you. A bit of a kick to it.
We were talking about the Christmas fair and how, you know, a lot, most of our friends do go to different churches. You know, the friends in Poynton go to St George's or the Baptist or Hockley, so everybody goes where they're comfortable, and saying the Christmas fair is a lot of work for a few people, so we all like to come to it and spend our money on the day, but it's the work that's involved.
It's a lot of work.
We did enjoy that. And I mentioned that in my form to fill in. I realise that it's, you can't expect the same few people to make it possible for the others to come. For us to, we like to come to it, but it's hard work.
Actually doing.
We are just saying that I'm more comfortable just having a friend, my family on Facebook, because I'm frightened of getting involved in something that you'll be involved pressing the wrong buttons.
But that's what it was saying, really, not to use your own Facebook to put things on, but for the church to have one, which we do. So, so it's not asking you to put things on on your own one. But, I agree with you. I'm not on Facebook for those sorts of reasons, personally. But, But it's definitely, that's why I put in, is there anything that's worried you, you know, on the first question, because sometimes this does worry people, all to do with the digital world and everything, and it's quite legitimate to say that it's worrying.
Yeah. Yes, no, you've got to be careful.
Oh, you do.
I mean, the family think I'm very strange because whenever I've sent a message to someone or had one back, an ordinary thing on my mobile, I delete it. And they say, you don't need to do that. And I said, I don't want all that clutter in there forever. You know, I said once I've sent them the message and they've responded and said, I'll meet you at 2 o'clock. That's it. I clear it.
Even before the meeting. That, you know. Even before, I'll just put this on.
They think I'm very up.
Thank you.
Okay. It's always a shame to stop you chatting, especially on a communication Sunday, I suppose. But so that we can hear some of the feedback, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to ask every table to feedback. I'll mention one of the questions, and then if somebody would like to say something, if you just indicate and I'll try, well, I'm not promising to rush, actually, I will come over with the microphone. So is there anybody who wants to say anything about the first one? Were anything interested, challenged, worried you about the input that we've had this morning or about this sort of subject generally? Anybody want to say anything? It can be whoever's made notes or it could be individuals.
We've been worried about the, which one did I say? The worried one. not being totally aware with all this, and it's here on Saturday, isn't it? What fraud, what scams, everything else. Just generally the safeguarding issues, which we do very well in person, but it would be the worry online.
Something's just come through this week on online about safeguarding with online stuff. I think it's directly from the Methodist Church.
You can find it. Right. So I think that's why I put it on. I think it's legitimate that we do, you know, we can say, actually, this whole subject worries me or it makes me go, or something. So I think we need to be able to say that and not just feel that we're being pushed into doing things that actually worry us.
I was just going to say that I was surprised how much the clips emphasise the use of Facebook. Speaking personally, I'm not on Facebook and none of my children are on Facebook, and it's been a deliberate decision not to use it. And often it's portrayed as a problem with older people who don't know how to use Facebook, whereas it is not always just that.
Yes, I mean, some people, younger people, and maybe lots of people here, are on TikTok and Instagram and things like that. So there are other platforms as well.
Just picking up on that, Ros. Sorry, Jill, I didn't know you do our Facebook, but part of my role in my job is media, social media. I have to say I'm not on Facebook personally because of the amount of traffic that comes through and you have to deal with. But I know from experience of my job that what we call content creation, in other words, the stuff that people give you, can be quite sporadic, quite limited, and it's a problem for the person who's running the Facebook. To be active on Facebook, you need to constantly have fresh ideas, fresh stories. And what I'm conscious here is that people have a lot of skills that we could be feeding to Jill. And it's also very important that we don't all rush off and do our own Facebook, because when you're giving a message out from a church, you've got to give a consistent message. It's got to be, to some degree, in a controlled manner. We can't have everybody running off doing their own thing. And it's great that Jill does it, but I'm sure she'd welcome more content to feed Facebook. We've got people here that could write a prayer. We've got people here that could write a poem. We've got people here that could share an article that they read in the week. And it's just about that. We've got people here that could tell a story, an encounter, something that's real that you've identified this week in your work, you know, in your week around Poynton. I went to a so-and-so in Poynton. It was great. You know, that's the sort of stuff we're looking for. Can you write a poem? Can you write a prayer? Can you send an article to Jill that you've read this week that's helpful to get the message out? And that would be, I'm speaking for Jill, but I'm hoping that would be really helpful.
So send it to Zoe and to Jill.
Zoe's also very busy with schoolwork stuff. Though. Not saying you're not Jill, but I think between you, if one of you could upload, because it really is about having visibility and constant new fresh. Because the way Facebook works is when you turn your phone on, it will come to your page, but after that, it's gone. So basically, the person that witters the most gets the most visibility. That's how it works. So if we can be there constantly in somebody's mind when they open their phone, that's how you're going to get people engaged.
And I think it's fair to say that Zoe and Jill are very, very quick at putting anything up that they're given. So it is, as you've just said, Hilary, giving things to them to put up, isn't it? I'll come back there in a minute. Okay.
Just talking about Facebook, you might be able to help us with something we've been discussing about the people who don't want to be on it. Is it possible to print off what you put on Facebook and make it into like a booklet and then the work's sort of already done? I don't know whether... you know, as we used to have a magazine here, or just even a few pages of like a newsletter, you know, to add to the newsletter. That's what we were discussing, wasn't it?
Do you want to say something?
I was going to say about the newsletter, which is really underused, I think. I think Fiona does a brilliant job publishing the articles that are sent to her, but they're very few and far between, and I feel that could be used much more. And I know that's within the church, but communication within the church is first and foremost more important almost than the outreach. They go together.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons that the magazine did fold. It was because Arnold had to be trying to drag information and articles out of people. Whereas, yes, things that can go into the notices, that would be really brilliant. I know David asked before, yeah.
Come and sit down, Ross.
Take the weight off. Well, I just wanted to say... Oh, I forgot what I wanted to say. Go on.
Thank you. So, as usual, it might tumble out all in the wrong way, and I'm bound to upset someone, so apologies in advance. For all these three points, we raised quite a lot of things which we thought were quite pertinent around communication and how we're going to do it best. It led to the way we coordinate and plan events, even week-by-week things. That led to a talk about starting a men's group, which we're happy to do, Paul and I, and hopefully that young man over there, Ian. Yes, don't turn around, Ian. And then that led to not just a men's group, but to the possibility of a youth group. And Paul had noticed, for instance, that out in this car park here by the library, we have a lot of youths who play football, perhaps do some unsavoury stuff, but hopefully we could try to, in some small way initially, to replicate youth activities here. And there was a thought that actually that might start costing us all some money, so maybe a part-time youth worker. These are ideas to be thought about, but if we don't do something, you have to look at what's really successful in other churches, and a lot of them have thriving youth sections. And why? What is going on there? Whether it's music, whether it's like a pool or darts activities, or just being able to hang out somewhere where there's a tea and coffee, rather than in a cold car park where they might actually be a nuisance to people, then let's try and get them in here. This will all cost the money, the church money, and we need to be able to say as a church, this has got to be done, because this is the future, because the alternative isn't that great, to be honest. But I probably said too much and probably upset someone. Sorry.
Well, the other churches do employ youth workers in Poynton, so that is something to be noted. Anything else?
We just need more of those three key things publishing.
Sorry?
Quite often when you come in to get them, they've all gone, so I just think we need a few more public,
print some more of the paper notices. I know we're trying to be eco, but I know it's true, and I quite often give those to people that I'm visiting or people, you know, who happen to be in the vicinity, because it's got our information on and people can then find out more about us. So they are really good to give out to people. Yeah, I think so. Anything else? Sorry, I'm walking this way. How does anybody like to just say how they share their faith? Ms. Julie?
When I meet somebody, you know, out there in the shops or whatever, I will always say, I'm Julie and I go to the Methodist Church here in Poynton near Waitrose. And then that's a conversation. So that's how I communicate my faith.
Thank you. Thank you. Oops, here.
I do that as well.
Yeah. That's how you do that. And I think Chris said something similar. Chris, would you like to say what you said before?
Whenever I have somebody help me or somebody visit, like my carer each Sunday, each day of the week, I let it be known that I'm a Christian. And sometimes that can lead to further discussion, but very often it's just a matter of they know now that I am a Christian. So it's the first stage. Quite often it doesn't go any further, but at least people know then that I'm a practicing Christian. So, for instance, if I go to Christie's for treatment and they ask me how I'm getting home, I say, I'm getting a lift. I'm okay. I'm getting a lift with a friend from church. So, that's the way I start a knowledge that I am a practicing Christian.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you. I think we do need to bring to a close, but is there anything else that somebody really, really wants to say who hasn't had an opportunity? So these are conversations to keep having, aren't they? And to feed any thoughts to myself and to the stewards of things such as we've heard. I think publicising that we have Facebook, we need to publicise that more. And also have more copies of the notices, maybe think about outreach and how we spend our finances. And we've got finance meetings soon and then church council. So these are places where we can have these discussions and make these decisions if we think that's the route we want to go down. Anything else anybody'd like to say? Okay. But keep the conversations going and feed into us. Any suggestions or ideas that you have. So thank you. Thank you for taking part in that. So let's pray. And we come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your word, made known through prophets, made firm through scripture, made flesh in Christ, made present by your Spirit. Thank you also, God, that you speak to us and through us. Thank you, God, for all who have laboured long and hard to hear and know and to show your word for all the world. Thank you, God, that you are never without witnesses, that countless quiet and faithful people listening wait on you, ready to hear, willing to speak in the clamour of competing voices. Thank you that your word can still be heard. Make us expectant to hear, available to speak, and willing to change. Living God, today our prayers are for the transparent saints, humble Christians through whose lives people can see and hear you without having to try. Writers whose poems, novels, or speeches are so inspired that readers can see your ways and hopes for humankind. Musicians and composers who so lift people's hearts that they feel they are in heaven itself. Artists who, in portraying scenes of pain or joy, give to the world eternal signs of beauty and possibility. Preachers whose passion for proclaiming Jesus fills their congregations with commitment and new life. Digital specialists, website managers, social media content makers, newsletter writers and poster creators, whose inspiration, creativity and clarity broadcast your good news and sustain community. Transparent to you, channels of love, laying bare the kingdom, shining lights in a dark world. They glorify you and bring from our lips heartfelt praise now and always. Amen. And loving God, we bring before you those who are on our hearts and minds this day, situations across the world, people known to us,
so many in need. We think particularly this morning of Chris, Linda, and Jean and her sister. And in the silence, Lord, we bring before you others for whom we would pray. Lord, may your peace, your healing, your presence be evident in all of those situations and with all of those people who we have prayed for this morning, and also in our own lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we join together and pray for the kingdom in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And just before we sing our final hymn together, are there any celebrations for February that we want to share? Yes? Sorry? You've had a birthday in February. Happy birthday to you. So we've got birthday. Yes? Oh, 56 years ago. Well, I was going to say it's my wedding anniversary, but that's I can't compete with those numbers, but it's my wedding anniversary next week. Yeah. 32, which we're quite proud about, but but I know it's small fry for lots of people. Yes? Whose birthday? Your birthday, John. Yeah, so John's birthday. Oh, we've got lots of birthdays, haven't we, this month? Your birthday tomorrow, Natalie. Oh, brilliant. Any others? Birthdays? Anything else to celebrate? It's good. We've got lots of things to celebrate together. So I think we'll sing Happy Birthday. Shall we sing To You All?
Yes.
That might be easier. So... And we finish our service this morning with the song, another one of my favourites, just songs of my favourites this morning, Teach Me to Dance. So we can dance, we can jig, we can clap.
Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with a heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of my created heaven and earth as you enjoy without measure. So like a child in your sight, I dance to see you delight, for I was made for your pleasure. Pleasure. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with the heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Let all my movements express a heart that loves to say yes, a world that leaps to obey you. Let all my energy raise to see the joy in your face, for I believe, praise you, praise you. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
And now let us bless each other in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. So please do stay, as Christine said at the beginning, if you wish to continue in conversation. Don't feel that you have to rush off because there's no extra coffee.